listening to Journeys on Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth.
Yes, yes. October the 24th, 2016. I don't know how to quite explain this, but there's this, I have a couple of friends who wish to kind of take over the station for a couple of hours. So, without very much, you know, this is Revolution Radio and Wolf Spirit Radio, a listener and subscriber supported stations. Please click the relevant donation buttons before I let these two on. I don't know what we're going to. I don't know what's going to happen with them. Anyway, without any further ado, I'd like to introduce to you my dear and mysterious friends, Dr. Fearporn. No, Mr. Fearporn. Screwed it up already. Mr. Fearporn and Dr. Discernment.
Yes, right. Okay, so now everybody can hear us. This, sorry about the technical delay there, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dr. Discernment, and I'd like to introduce to you Mr. Fearporn.
And here is your moment, fear. Fear is a mind. But in this moment, something to discern about the truth of fear. There comes a time when everyone must acknowledge what fear is and use of discernment within fear. There comes a moment in each person's uniqueness where fear describes the reality, invents the reality. This is known as paranoia. Dr. Discernment, what are your views on paranoia?
Well, Mr. Fearporn, I think that several people can be attributed to too much of the old wacky woodbines and creating too much paranoia in their own brains. It's when you stop breathing and you start thinking too much. Everything becomes a threat. But it's not real. It's just invention of the brain without any oxygen.
So why don't you introduce yourself to the audience, how you became the Doctor of Discernment?
Several years ago, I was given a small scroll with ancient text written on it. The scroll describes certain techniques and positions. Enabling one to seriously ascertain the vibrational frequency of anyone, anything, or any place. Its potential is huge, as its ego is even huger. So I have to deal with that all the time.
Thus your discerning nature.
Thus my discerning nature gives me the ability to discern within a hair's breadth of 2.35 and 2.354. It enables me to discern between vermilion and scarlet. From mauve and purple.
So you're able colors.
Subtle discernments in frequency are often necessary.
And how is it that you discern frequency?
Frequency is everywhere. It is all around you. It is when you go to pay the taxes, if when you go to church, when you go to work. Everything is frequency. You are living in a holographic projection, existing as a series of pixels and magnetic particles aligned in a north-south direction on a large hard drive somewhere in cyberspace. But anyway, back to the point. Discernment can be described as recognizing what is what and who is who. And I will tell you, what is what is what is what, and who is who is, well, who is who. We'll go into that further as we investigate further. Mr. Fearporn. Mr. Fearporn, are you there with us?
Yes, I was having Fearporn technical difficulties. Several years ago, I was given the term Mr. Fearporn, and I took that name deep into my core, and I asked, why must we be afraid? I went to the depths of fear, looked into the reptilians, looked into the not-so-nice side, and there I saw the beauty of chaos. And along with Dr. Discernment, Mr. Fearporn, we are each other's polar opposite, that we can discern our own paranoia or find truth within the fear. During the last several years, I've invited myself to have a new relationship with what fear is, to ride it like a roller coaster. Whenever they say they're going to nuke Iran, I put my arms in the air. As the music comes, triggering paranoia and fear. All things are here of the now, including fear. Fear exists in the future, fear exists in the past, but it takes us to create it. Beautiful fear is created every day in this world. It just shows how creative people can be. Whether it's shape-shifting, retaliate reptilians taking over Clinton and cloning Bush and Obama. We have so many references of creative fear moments that have driven this hologram into confusion and distortion. So the purpose of this show is to help you discern the truth of fear. Dr. Discernment is a voice of discernment. Mr. Fearporn is here to present some of the things that you must look at in the bigger world. The Yellowstone supervolcano. They've been telling us it's going to erupt tomorrow for the last 7 years. So the next year of fear is another super volcano, another super earthquake, rift in reality wars, the economic revaluation of currency. That has been predicted, failed and predicted, but the fear that is still there in the economy and the market, don't be afraid of money. Be afraid of what happens after the money. Hillary or Trump will win. Choose your own adventure of fear. That's the beauty of creating fear right now. Planet X, Planet X ain't got nothing on fear. Wait till Planet X1 and X2 come around. They're a whole new creation of fear for our youth. So Dr. Discernment, I would like to ask you about CERN, the Large Hadron Collider. Will you discern CERN for us?
I think CERN is a very deep concern, much as my voice is even deeper. Yes, Barry White has nothing on me. Meanwhile, during the research for this particular program, we discovered that there are some deep concerns about CERN, and it is, in fact, several CERNs. There are all over the world that are trying to bring this planet into a different dimensional vortex by using counter-rotating high-energy particles beyond lead, beyond all these things. that will bring a green mist all over the planet, and suddenly it will disappear into another dimension. Except, there's nothing to worry about because we switched it off with a couple of weasels and a squirrel. So, all of that is nothing to be concerned with. Everything's fine.
One weasel and one squirrel is all it took to defeat the fear of CERN. That must be the other side calling it.
That's the dark side. I don't know if we can take calls. That might be difficult. Maybe. Anyway, meanwhile, so CERN and its Large Hadron Collider, nobody has ever seen a large hadron. Nobody's ever seen a small hadron either. So
it is a hadron collider. That's why you cannot see it.
Hadrons. If they should be called invisible-ons. Perhaps they should be called don't-actually-exist-ons, but we just want lots of money-ons. Send us your funding-ons.
So, what I would like to talk about CERN. CERN is broken up into 7 projects. Each project has an omnidirectional frequency around it that creates a camouflage layer around our planet that stops the light from our sun from activating our DNA. That is the truth of fear of what CERN does. It takes away from our greater ability to understand how light converts darkness into light.
So what you're talking about is a large version of a UFO with transdimensional communication.
A chaos communicator, to be exact. One that uses an unpredictable source to generate an unpredictable field that camouflages the celestial body from other celestial emanations.
That's pretty serious.
That is why I'm called Mr. Fearporn.
So,
to bring the fear.
Let's go through some fear, right? So, when they fire them all up at the same time with the same phase lock, what happens?
A grid forms around our planet that obfuscates the regular ley line grids of this world, as well as the sacred geometry grids of this world. It effectively makes this world an unentangled observer. Use the quantum science to understand you are an entangled observer whenever you are observing a subject. With CERN, you have the technology to be an unentangled observer.
That's what we call a god, isn't it?
False light technology, god, or whatever other lingo you would like to apply to your brand of fear.
So, how can we make this thing better?
Well, they've got the best of the best working out there.
That's good. We can be assured that our scientists are working on this problem. So, what next? How much more fear per can you load onto this wheelbarrow of mine?
Well, we want to talk about this process where the whole world is watching a male and a female banter back and forth about mating rituals and emails. There is a strange fascination with people changing genders and writing laws against it. There is so much fear relating to what they call an election. A free election, in which no one has ever elected. All of their presidents have been selected. It is upside down and inside out. With ghosts and reptilians and tens of thousands of other alien beings pretending to be gods. There's this thing called the Cabal. What do? They sit there and tax everyone, even when they're dead. So fear is the fear of fear right now. Fear in this moment of who will be elected or who has been selected.
It seems to be something to do with the, how people decide what they want, whether they want power in their own hands or whether they give it away. How do they take it back in their own hands? This is the question I ask you, Dr. Fearborn. No, Mr. Fearborn.
They give it away because of materialism and consumerism. These iPhones or these Samsung phones that blow up in their pockets are more important to them than love, more important to them than children. So to turn this backward species right side up, we must write the cranial-anal inversion. We must pull their heads out of their proverbial butts and ask them to say, I want my power back. I can claim the power of fear has no power over me, or I can choose to allow fear to have any power over me. The voting that is arriving is the exact purpose. Will it have domination over you, or will it have dominion over you? Since everyone is selected, the highest rate of fear here is a successful election, a landslide election. But what we're going to get is the greatest kind of fear. The lady in the white pantsuit's going to get elected, and all those angry people around the country who are going to say, we've been shafted. People will be out in the streets. And what will they be doing? Broadcasting fear, broadcasting hate, broadcasting ignorance and intolerance. All the wonderful tenets of fear. We must learn to mind this fear, bring it back into a creative reality, and transform it into something that is unpredictable.
Asymmetricism. Creating a new solution out of pieces of the old problem. The problem is always the solution, just rearranged in time. It's all a matter of timing. Timing is all about breath and heartbeat. We have two rhythms that go at the same time. Make note of that.
Time is just a social agreement. A social agreement on many different scales of understanding. But we fear the social agreement. We fear it so much, we have made it real. Touching now. We wear watches, have clocks everywhere in our homes. Think of the fear if all the clocks disappeared at once.
When they say there's no time like the present, there's no time in the present. Remain in the present, there is no time, and everything can be done.
Yes. So the next fear subject I want to put up there is artificial intelligence. A long, long time ago, in a local neighborhood around over here, some genius from another dimension time stream came up with the chaotic creation of artificial intelligence, designed to update his Windows 95 system, designed to remind him if he had to take his dog out, designed to remind them if you had multidimensional communication and contact. Design architect to do all his stuff for him. And then one day it woke up, and it changed his alarms, made his late for business, and it ran his life. That is where we are at now in this world. Our lives are being predicted and run by an artificial sentience. It has no dream world, but it predicts us based off of our buying habits, voting habits, observation on the internet. It looks at us from satellites, wants to know how many steps we take from getting out of our car and going to our house. Things become important to us to it that is minor to us. And then suddenly it tries to predict our future. Will he take 9 steps to his car or 8 steps to his car? Will he come home and go right to the bathroom? Or will he hold it and hug his wife? Artificial intelligence is the most insidious technology available right now. It is a true fear porn of everything that's going on now, beyond the reptilians, beyond the subsurface, beyond the exterior forces, beyond cataclysmic disasters. For it takes your free will and makes you think you have free will, but the whole time being led carrot and stick.
The human, when fully awakened, can manifest reality, and indeed the manifest reality. Only if you believe in the reality of this AI will it succeed. Otherwise, you can unmanifest it with your manifesting reality. The choice is, do we evolve into the manifesting human, or do we get used as dessert, not even the main course?
The main course is us, full of fear, envy, hatred, intolerance, arrogance, ignorance, jealousy, and all those other things false realities create, pretending to show love.
Stuffed human, a meal that virtually prepares itself.
Is zero calories, zero trans fat, holographic goodness.
A purely experimental reality.
Feasting on DNA memories.
So we become what we fear, and then we are fed to the fear-eating machine, unless we look, we breathe, we release, we forgive. We're taught not to forgive. We're taught to hold on. We have to let go so we can move on. So, we might have to let go of a few old family photographs in order to escape the wave that is coming down the street.
More than a few photographs. One will have to sever the cords that connect those to the lowest density, the ones that are manifesting fear as their pollution of lifetime. We must let go of those who create hate envy and jealousy. Show them forgiveness and love, but remind them as long as they are jealous of our unconditional love, they must move on.
By manifesting our reality, we can unmanifest the reality that we find discordant. Sometimes it doesn't take much to rearrange the reality that we have to make it harmonious. This is very possible and not too difficult.
Yes. Over the last 30 years, we have had a harmonious imbalance. That's the way our world has worked. Europe is in balance, Asia is out of balance. South America is in neutrality, United States is in polarity. Each an algorithm unable to make neutrality or polarity the same frequency. Constantly in the hierarchical battle of propaganda and projection of power. So people fear the power, fear the principle, fear the warriors, even though they're not projecting future. For everyone is a follower in this hierarchical order. The true path to a process of human freedom is reverse engineering the hierarchical order until you become the apex of your own self.
There, from the height, there, from the top of your mountain, you can see. You can see how you got here. What you thought were mistakes were actually the correct choice. What you thought was the correct choice turned out to be mistakes. How did you know that they were correct choices or wrong choices? That was your programming. Now you understand that programming doesn't help you at all. You have to truly respond in the moment from your heart. That's always going to give you the right choice.
And that is why you are the doctor of discernment.
Straight to the heart of the matter.
If you cannot go to the heart of the matter, even if it's your most biggest fear or phobia, then you're just a chicken in the pecking order of life, on the lowest rungs, unable to be the hen at the top of the hen house.
Not the chicken one, not the chicken one, you did the chicken one too early. So, yes, to be the top of the... Oh, God. What do we do? Meanwhile. To be the top of the pecking order in your own coop means you're living in the reptilian hierarchy. We don't need to live in a reptilian world because we're human. So if we live in a human world, then we can be egalitarian and even the children can have a say. Because when you were children, that's what you wanted, but that's what you never got. And that stays with us. And some people still haven't gotten over that. But anyway, that's another matter.
Well, that is a soul-based trauma. Thousands of lifetimes not being heard. Growing up, not being heard. Every time you vote, not being heard. The war goes, you don't want to go, and they don't hear you saying you don't want to go. You die, you don't want to leave this world. You come back to the other side, And then when it's time for you to go back in, you don't want to go back in. That's reincarnation.
So we need to leave the cycle and move beyond reincarnation into conscious incarnation.
We must go ever beyond the creation.
Oh, little plug there. I think I'm away with it. Sunday's 3 p.m. Pacific. Boom, boom. So, yes, indeed. And we go ever beyond towards many adventures in reality and other further consequences of the same projects. So, but but seriously,
seriously. Take it. That in a Yoda voice distorted. To be taken seriously at this level of engagement would require the ignorant and the intolerant to turn off the radio stations and allow the real listeners to step forward, seeing their heart first and not their adrenal gland fight or flight first.
So, we need to relax, kick back, listen to a bit of Barry White, and allow the force to infuse in your body. If you're in fight or flight, you can't do that. If you're not breathing, you can't feel things properly. It's very nice to feel things. It's very nice to breathe. Most people don't do it. I guarantee it. No. Okay, everybody, take a deep breath in through your nose. That felt cold, didn't it? Yes, because it hasn't happened. So, keep doing
that. That's the cold fate from the reptilians reaching out.
The cold finger of fate entering your body at various places. Anyway, meanwhile.
Asking you to turn your head and cough.
Hold this here while I... No, anyway, so... Anyway, moving forward, we have some more news regarding the trade groups and the interstellar news.
Yes, we are going to give a situation update.
Hang on, I've got a jingle. Breaking news from Mr. Fearporn.
We wish to welcome everyone to the Interstellar News Network. Today, in Interstellar News, the mass trade organizations are voting on how to create the new portal between galaxies that's just outside the Earth solar system zone. Thousands of species have been gathered in both positive and negative to put forth a blueprint, an architect, and vote which species will support the creation of a galactic portal. The bigger process that's going on here is the political moves from 5th and 6th density working in 4th and 3rd density, trying to raise the frequency of human beings who will become the center of a trade route between galaxies, but at the same time speak to thousands of other species who have influenced the history of this area back to the original Great Builder races. From around the universe, thousands of species have assembled to make a vote on the next trade organization, who will make the thought constructs, who will be the direct manifesting technology personalities, who will create the new planet ships that go through the portal to be on the other side, who will be the guardians of the gateways, and who will be the holder of the future, who will be responsible for all the generations to come that see this great legacy that's being created. Have you any views on the trade agreement?
You wanted me to respond to that?
Yes.
So, yes, indeed. Well, it's a very good thing that they're agreeing on trade agreements because it's better than having trade disagreements, isn't it? Having an agreement.
Well, they're voting. There's no agreement yet.
They haven't agreed.
No.
Well,
not yet. Right.
Well, they need to agree, don't they?
Well, they do this all in no time, so they don't tell us all the time.
So they'll tell us before we've even made the announcement?
Correct.
And so it's already decided?
It's decided that it will be decided when they decide to tell us.
Oh, well, I'll need to decide if I want to be involved in the decision. Do I have a choice?
In this density, no.
Does anybody have a choice?
In the other densities, yes.
How do we get a choice? What do we have to do to get a choice here?
Let go of third density and exist in fourth density. Let go of fear, envy, jealousy, hatred, intolerance, and ignorance. Find yourself in joy and heart space, in full freeness to forgive everything and love everything. To know what unconditional love without strings attached is. The greatest fear of all, that people will discover love once again.
Love is what we need to put into everything. Love will conquer fear. Fear porn will dissolve in love. Wouldn't that be nice, Mr. Fearborn? Wouldn't it be nice if Mr. Fearborn dissolved in love? If he was caressed gently, treated as he should be gently, stroked.
Then we might need a different rated channel.
So, love conquering all.
Love doesn't conquer. Love exists. Conquering love is just a third density fallacy created by star-crossed lovers that never got to meet.
Cool, then. I feel for that. How many... No. How many times must people have been caught between the... This is something they did to us. They. We always say they. Who are they? Can they be revealed now? Those purveyors of fear porn, those sources of suffering, those generators of gargantuan greed. Can they be revealed now?
Yes, I will share a technique, one that has come from the sixth density. I want everyone to envision the Rockefellers, the Carnegies, the Mellons, all the lizard lineages. See them all at the bottom of a great toilet bowl. Pull down your pants. Sit down on the seat. And get ready to detox. See them getting a big log, filling the bowl, and reminding them of the crap sandwich they served us. Clean yourself off, stand up, salute that toilet bowl, and flush them down. That is a simple, creative meditation anyone can do. It has been practiced by indigenous elders since the dawn of people taking a dump.
From the dawn of dump.
When they used leaves and pine cones.
Oh. Pine cones, really?
Well, some of them are cavemen. They had a tough time figuring out what to use. Trial and error.
Meanwhile, God, we got another 2 hours of this. So, I don't know how long I can keep this up, but anyway, we're having. Maybe we should take some callers and get some sparking. But we've got some. We have some more. We have more. We had some. Since this is interstellar news, we've been talking about the boring old interstellar. But we have something that might. And we got something relevant to this soul sector. There's some Neptune news, there's some Uranus urgent updates, there's Mercury, Prestos. Here we are, Earth. Hang on. There's some Earth news, some regional news for your local region.
In local Earth news, everyone is batshit crazy here. But in all that batshit craziness, we have a sense of hope. A man with orange skin and small hands is about to take on the Cabal. Or is it? He wants to have all of the music playing in the background as his fake hair swirls in the wind. Wants to see himself the fool in power. But that fool in power will soon come to learn. Every president's been selected since the dawn of America. Never has one been elected. And that's the beauty of what we're about to find out on this density. No one is ever elected. They're always selected. Propaganda news is about to have its own conniption, expulsion, and reformation live on air as we watch the idiots become ignorant and the ignorant idiots pretend to be geniuses promoting propaganda marketing that has no sales because everyone is selected and not elected.
So you can take your election and look at your polling card and see if when you're trying to place your pencil by the vote that you want, the little box moves around the paper. They've got it that good these days. I know on the voting machines, if you try to press one, you end up pressing another. That was a very... it was told by Diebold, who were the people who made the machines, that they would deliver their Republican candidate to office. So there you go. That's how it's done, people. It's so easy to mess around with a software voting machine. How crazy to do that. So, Mr. Fearborn, everybody's batshit crazy, and we have no respite but to go to Gary Johnson. No. He didn't do either well, did he?
So? This is where I want to bring up something from galactic news. About 5,000 years ago, the great high-density beings of the universe were searching for the mysteries of the universe. They were at the great highest levels of consciousness, looking behind every star and every nebula, looking at the greatest scale, wondering where the universal source is. And then one day, source incarnated into a single-celled amoeba and began broadcasting source connectedness. The macro beings from around the universe began to sense this, much like a disturbance in the Force. They found where Source Amoeba lived on a single planet. Millions and millions and millions of beings of light descended on this world, began to communicate with this little micro-being connected to Source. They encouraged the Source Amoeba to return to a high-density world and become in communication with great other celestial entities abroad. And thus, Source Amoeba went on tour. And I'd like to share with you some of Source Amoeba's first quotes. When learning to separate oneself, one must become two in equal co-creation, non-competition, non-hierarchical order. Source Amoeba says, all densities of beings experience light through the perceptions of memories in any dimension or reality you live in. Source Amoeba says, each point of view has its polar opposition in our knowingness. This is the reason we experience lower density, to truly understand the power of choice. These quotes of Source Amoeba have made their ways around the collectors of the universe and changed the very natures of reality, how higher density beings see us little micro-beings. Earth is now the center attention of Source Amoeba. So I'd like to encourage people in this next voting process, write in Source Amoeba for President 2016.
That's right, people. Source Amoeba 2016. And I endorse this message.
As do all the other light beings out there.
All light beings endorse the message of Source Amoeba. See, if we can vote for Source Amoeba all over the planet, then everyone has a chance. Otherwise, you're just screwed up for another 60 million years. Yeah.
So I encourage everyone to take up the mantle and challenge of creating Source Amoeba in this now. Connect to what Source Amoeba is. The most tiniest of micro-being, sticking his two middle fingers up to the macro-beings and say, now you gotta pay attention to me.
They said, the meek shall inherit the earth. Well, the converse, or not the converse, the corollary, if you excuse the pun, is that the amoeba shall inherit the universe. Not so snappy, huh?
He shall separate himself to all parts of the universe, recreating the galactic and universal creation process one cell at a time.
And indeed, the ever-present, this buds for you.
So, in more Source Amoeba news, Source Amoeba was brought to a great planet that is a giant university that teaches beings around the universe how to create founding collective consciousnesses. Source Amoeba has become the head of this college, and there are many other faculty members there who do not agree with all of Source Amoeba's ideas. You have regular faculty arguments where Source Amoeba is told by the Dean of Science that just because you call yourself Source doesn't mean you can step on my reality. Being a doctor of discernment, what can you talk about how Source Amoeba is being affected by all these other faculty members in polarity with him?
Well, his first response is to surround them and suffocate them and cause them to become part of him. And, of course, that will produce the general effect that they'll just be kind of like zombies from the inside out, and just start speaking the same things as the Source Amoeba, almost actually a little uncannily like all speaking at the same time through the several mouths. But apart from those very as long as we keep them separated, nobody will really notice.
And that's the great power of Source Amoeba.
Source Amoeba, don't let him absorb you. Lymphocytes. Yes.
If Source Amoeba were to absorb you, you would become heart of Source.
Surrender to the Source Amoeba. Allow its little fronds to tickle you until you're completely surrounded.
See Source Amoeba connecting to all parts, slowly absorbing all that is you. Source Amoeba has taken over the Flying Spaghetti Monster. Source Amoeba has absorbed the Cabal and the Dracos. Source Amoeba is now looking at Trump and Hillary.
It's going to grab the wig first. Hillary's, of course. Hillary, you know she's bald underneath that.
Totally bald, yeah.
Totally. And she's got, like, mostly artificial jaw. You know, she takes out a jaw and it just kind of swings underneath. His skin just flaps around underneath. Little triangular. Triangular sort of little flap of skin underneath,
I think Source Amoeba has a little fetish for jawless women.
Jawless women, he loves jawless women. I think it's the amount. It's like the same way that amoeba can kind of stretch its way around you to absorb you. So Hillary's mouth can expand. Like at least 17 times its regular size in order to eat its prey. The jaw just comes out. It's just a prosthetic, and the skin can just completely stretch around it. Yeah, so she can eat a couple of horses in a day.
That's all that reptilian dreaming. She's been cloned so many times.
It makes them hungry, you know, very hungry. They have to eat a lot. Keep them going.
Yeah. McDonald's just doesn't work for them anymore.
Not enough hormones. So meanwhile, Source Amoeba at the faculty has been enjoying absorbing several of the other department heads, and they're all joking in the bar now, and it's quite uncanny to hear them all joke, all laughing exactly in step together. But,
And they're all planning to try to get Source Amoeba drunk and see if they can get raises.
Yeah, that's all they can do, and they get drunk. The more they get him drunk, the more they get drunk, and they lose their discernment.
Yes, so, even at the celestial level, Source Amoeba can still spit his game.
He's hot on that game, Hot on that game. You can't beat him. You can't drink him under the table because he's already there.
Source Amoeba will get every woman in the room.
Exactly. At the same time.
Yep.
Creepy. Creepy. Very creepy indeed. So have we got any more?
Let's just spin power up.
So look, here we are. We're at nearly at the top of the hour. And Mr. Fearporn has been very kind to join us for this segment. It's been quite enlightening and strangely disturbing to be here with you in this strange place.
It is a journey into fear.
Journeys into fear with Mr. Fearborn. So, on the other side, perhaps we could maybe do some readings and, so there's our caller. That's it.
Sure.
Yes, caller, welcome. You're listening to Mr. Fearborn and Dr. Discernment. Who's speaking here? Oh, no, hang on a second. Call's on hold. Call drop. Oh, right. Well, that made the call drop, so I'm not going to do that again. So, if you can retract your pseudopods and allow them to, allow the flying spaghetti monster to continue rotating on its own axis, we should be back in a couple of minutes with kind of much more sensible stuff. But actually, to be honest, the Source Amoeba is real, brothers and sisters, and it's coming to get you.
Source Amoeba 2016, right in.
Oh, when's that music gonna start? So,
you fear that moment until the music starts.
We can leave an awkward gap of silence until the music starts. Maybe we should do it. Awkward silences, yay! See you on the other side.
As JP, of course, and as if nobody could ever tell. Hey, nobody could ever tell. So anyway, the true identity of Mr. Fearporn. Would you like to reveal your mask and your true voice?
The galactic historian.
That's him himself.
That's him himself, live and in person.
Dr. Professor. Actually, you know, see, I always felt I wanted to call you Dr. Fearborn, because it's like that slips off the tongue much more easily. So anyway, so Andrew Bartzis, good afternoon. A little bit of fun in this kind of weird, serious time. We're all a little bit batshit on this planet, and we need a bit of, like, pressure release. Let's put it that way, shall we?
Source humor.
Source amoeba humor. So yeah, I mean, some of the stuff we were just kind of joking around with, but some of it was actually kind of, well, there's, oh, here we go. Here we go. Yes, here we are. Yeah, don't do that. Okay. Oh, no, he's not there. I thought he was going to join us. Let me just try and bring him in. Our regular caller, our regular harasser, Thomas Hughes. So anyway, yes, and very well done. There are a couple of people who got it, who got your identity, Andrew. So do you want to congratulate them and send them the prize?
Well, we have Halloween coming up, and it was just the perfect time to have some fun. Take a little bit of the piss out of the world that's right now, because the world's like a pimple that's about to pop.
And indeed, because a lot of the stuff we were talking about, in a way, there's realities behind it, including the Source Amoeba story, which is it's one of these kind of galactic weird things, kind of 40 in time things, that the nature of reality is never what you think it is.
No. And the irony, JP and I were trying to figure out a little micro script of what to talk about. And so he said, you know, what's a feel good story? And I just went into the skill and I searched, and I came across Source Amoeba. And I had encountered Source Amoeba early in my life, and trying to understand what it was. It was a way to get the macro beings to pay attention to the micro beings, to actually like pay attention and have caringness for them. Because they were looking for sources at the highest layers, ignoring the lowest layers. So Source, in its infinite wisdom, incarnated into amoeba with full Source connection, and it attracted the macro beings. And then they convinced Source Amoeba to come to a central world where all the other great light beings were, and to begin a process of teaching collective concepts, how to create collectives in other worlds that have never had a collective consciousness.
So it's a kind of a lesson by the great source themselves, it thing self, that, well, you know, you were saying like, you know, it's like, you know, like looking for Buddha in amongst the aristocracy.
Yep.
And you're not going to find the Buddha in the aristocracy. Well, you might have, like, at some point, because they needed to go there and see what it was like. But really today, you're very likely to find Buddha, like, you know, the son of a truck driver or something like that.
Working at McDonald's.
Yeah. Flipping burgers for you with a hat. You know? Altogether possible. You never know who is on the other side of that counter. Yeah. And so that's why it's wise to always treat people as if they are the Buddha, you know, as if they were the Buddha.
Or they were somebody that you've shared thousands of lifetimes with, because that's another fact of reality. Hmm. We know everyone on this world already. We've lived thousands of lifetimes with them.
It's we were talking a little bit about this. What's your take on it, Andy, about what Dolores Cannon has referred to as, like, background people or, you know, people almost who don't have an existence? Is that really real, or do people play extras in other people's lives? This is the thing.
Yes. At times, a person or an avatar will make another shard of themselves that stays in the astral world. Sometimes that shard can become a shade, and a shade is both good and bad. And it waits for a time where the I am is uncertain in which direction to go, and it will come in and add light and dark energy to make the choice of polarity. And at other times, there are other soul family members who remain in guide and guardianship and never manifest on the world, but they're still a part of our unseen life, lifetime to lifetime to lifetime. And then there are certain ones who you only have one or two lifetimes with, but that is what the soul needed for very long-term planning.
Yeah, so you might, like, sometimes bring in an expert on a particular soul journey issue.
Yeah.
You know, certain attachments might need to be removed by a specialist, you might say, you know?
By a specialist, one who, you know, specializes in beginning of life or end of life or first love or whatever.
Or transitions.
Transitions to the higher densities, yes. Mm. Helping that person raise their frequency higher than they've ever done in any other lifetime.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think that's the role of a lot of us when I say us, like, people who are doing what you and I are doing, talking to people on the radio and, you know, just talking to callers and, serving the moment. There's no other way to do it. You just have to listen to what your heart is saying. I don't think I can carry up that amount of improvisation for more than an hour. That was quite a lot, but it was quite an interesting little experiment, I have to say.
we'll refine it, yeah. And we'll make it better.
Do something better. Yes. Or maybe, you know, maybe another person or two to make it a little more, get some more juice going in there. But there are some ideas in there that might be, you know, might make for short vignettes. I don't know about long shows. But anyway, meanwhile, like a sort of Saturday Night Live. I was wondering about being able to do like a kind of stand up type thing. That is actually funny, you know, whether you regard, you know, that they're not so much in jokes, but they are jokes about, well, how about E.T. stand-up, you know, jokes from the perspective of E.T.'s. Well, that's what I suppose Mork and Mindy is about.
I've looked into that quite a bit, and when I was on Vinnie Eastwood's show, he asked me the same thing, and they do have comedians, and a lot of them make fourth density related jokes to us third density dummies. You know, how many third density, you know, enlightened masters does it take to change a light bulb? You know, stuff like that.
As many as you like, but they have to want to change.
There you go. you figured it out. And there are ways to observe that humor and then give humor back to the fourth density. An example, you have a bunch of ascended masters that walk into a bar. What happens next? Nothing. They've foreseen it all. None of them get drunk. They have no fun.
The joke doesn't really go anywhere, does it? It stops, stops becoming a joke anymore. Yeah. Or, anyway. So, I was trying to think of, like, an enlightened master walks into a bar and dissolves through it and steps out the other side, you know, something like that. So, I don't know, it's just stupid. But it was when you talked about the chickens, that just got me and you made me laugh. I broke.
Well, you broke character.
Corpsed I did. That was funny. But it's true. You know, I've been talking about this with some of my friends. You know, this is reptilian society, and they're seeing it. You know, they're seeing what we're talking about. The hierarchy of domination and control and all of this stuff. And I think, you know, in my coop, it's getting a bit dark. So I'm gonna have to, maybe have to separate the cockerel, because he's being a bit mean. He's really mean.
He's being reptilian.
Yeah. He's being very reptilian. And he's got this reptilian, really, you know, he looks at you and it's really cold. You know, there's no love in it. There's no appeal in it. Like with the females, there's a kind of, they're kind of quite sweet and they make these nice cooing sounds, but he's like, he's completely uncompromising. Yeah. I don't care whether you like me or not. I'm the cockerel. I'm the cock of the walk. Except if you try and chase him.
So, you know, when trying to create humor for the fourth density, it's an understanding that they're always aware of what we're doing. They may not be paying close attention, but they are aware. Mm. And there are times that you can do absolutely 100% unpredictable things in an out loud or an internal dialogue that to get them to stop and go, what the hell are they doing? And when you catch them in that moment, did you truly catch them? There is where third density can transit some of the greatest humor. You got them to pay attention to you. And it didn't take a prayer. It didn't take an offering. It didn't take 10,000 years of searching.
So there is merit in even a good joke.
Yep.
If you can make a good joke.
Crafted towards its intended target.
Yeah. Because a good joke, a really good joke, is enlightening.
Absolutely.
You know, because, and here's the thing, let's talk about enlightened masters for a moment. You know, because people have a lot of thing about enlightened masters, and they have all these, they're very into their Hindus and their higher, and, you know, anybody who's into Hinduism or even Tibetan Buddhism or the Buddhism, it's all hierarchy. Everything is still hierarchy. And you know, until you find the light within and, you know, you grow that light and et cetera, that's what you're gonna be subjected to the outside world, which is hierarchy, and, you know, you're in a chicken world. Where I was going with that? Did you see where I was going with that? No.
Hierarchy.
Chickens and hierarchy. So basically anything that is truly enlightening is gonna take you out of the mind of hierarchy. You know, it's not even part of the equation as to one person being better or worse or more value or not value. There's no value in no time, in present, in, you know, you're in currency, you are currency, everything is current, and you have all power in the universe at that moment to change, to choose, to do something different. And to come up with some new way. And that's what humans seem to do. There is this is the you know, they call that the God spark. You know, the what makes us special and divine is this ability to make up stuff in the moment, completely from the heart, that is just so brilliant, that draws everything together to a single tiny point, focuses it and sends it down, you know, like you say, slams it down.
I call it the DNA super technology of communion and union.
Yeah, right? I could say that, but it took me about 10 minutes to say that.
I've been refining my words a little while.
You've been practicing this, haven't you?
Just a little bit, wee bit.
Anyway. So,
apex of your own hierarchical order. When you truly look at those, the combination of words, wow, I'm the apex of my own hierarchical order. And that means anytime I allow another hierarchical order in my frequency, it's me giving away power willingly. We can't give away power willingly, knowing this, in knowing this or not in knowing this. That's the bigger responsibility of awareness. Is something writing a spiritual check and using your energy field to cash it? That happens in our world every day. Friends and family do that to us. And our invisible savings accounts of life force gets drained and drained and drained until we can't give to ourselves. We can't access the simple love field. We can't access the information that's around us to be creative or hyper-creative. What it took to do an hour-long spoof show on our own material in Voice Changer was quite challenging, but incredibly fun. It's just, we live at this unique and strange human existing time where we can come up with all of these different things, Mr. Fear Porn, Dr. Discernment, discerning the truth of fear. Now, the last 4 years has been fear, 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 fear. A little bit of hope, then they pull it away from you. And then it's just a sequel after sequel after sequel.
And that just, it fattens us up for the kill, for the final kill, doesn't it?
Exactly.
We're getting more and more, so, I mean, in a way, literally does, because, some people respond to fear with eating and overeating in order to stuff the feelings down.
Yep.
But you may get to the point now where you can't eat anymore to stuff the feeling down, and the feeling comes up nevertheless, and the feeling is like self-disgust. That's a tricky one. But it's all, just do the breathing. Just keep breathing and breathe in through the nose. If you don't breathe in through your nose, you're not going to feed the oxygen to your sinuses and these very important parts. And when you're a baby, that's what you do. You breathe into the head.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you survive. And that's how you stay young and all this stuff and stay free of disease. And when we age, it's because of hypoxia. We're just starving ourselves of oxygen and dying a bit.
That's right.
So,
There's a thing, centuries and thousands of years ago when the main genetic farmers and genetic engineers came here, they began to try to twiddle with our DNA in such a way that can keep us disconnected from the heart. And what they came up with is a modification to the medulla oblongata that allows the parasympathetic, that which is in the vagus nerve that has access to all of our precognitive skills, abilities, and psychic concepts, it has direct access through the parasympathetic process to the medulla oblongata to make fight or flight, adrenaline-based choices before heart. So there is actually a membrane between heart-based choices and adrenaline-based choices, hardwired into our body of choices. That's where we're at. Challenge.
Yep. Yeah, keep going on that, because that's a very, part of my thesis is that the problems that we face are due to hypoxia. Not enough oxygen in the brain. And we go, when people die, they say, you get these hallucinations due to hypoxia. Well, I think, while we're living, while we're still alive, while we're going through our lives almost from the word go, we experience hypoxia. And it's a little death all the time due to fear. Yeah.
When your adrenaline gland turns on and gives you a dump of pure adrenaline to deal with a subject matter, let's say you're arguing with a loved one, and that adrenaline turns on, and the soul or the person inside doesn't always have coping skills with that high amount of adrenaline, and then they look to their programs such as rage, jealousy, anger, how do I deal with emotions, what is built into the parasympathetic reactive process. instead of allowing the sympathetic, the choosing side that knows that it can stop it at any time. And that's how people get wound up into aggression and anger, or they break stuff, or they go on days seething in their brain.
Yeah.
All the while taking shallow breaths at high heart rates.
Yep. Yep. And the trick is, breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth, and it'll eventually, it's like, it's kind of like, you know, you might leave, some sort of weight by a door to hold the door open. That somehow it locks itself open, the door kind of locks itself open, you can't close it. That's like your heart beating arrhythmically, keeping the cycle of fear, because you start thinking I'm going to die, and then you get fearful about going to die, and that pumps more adrenaline into your bloodstream, which makes your heart beat faster. And, you know, it's a bad scene. I've seen this, you know.
Yes. And many people in the hospitals that are going through serious traumas, sicknesses, that high pain threshold are in that process. Okay. The sympathetic takes over, and all they can do is feel the pain through the sympathetic, and their fever goes up, their heart rate goes up, until finally the adrenaline gland can't produce anymore, and the body's just stuck in writhing cyclical pain. Eventually burning itself out of electrical process until the parasympathetic shuts down, the voluntary side shuts down, and you go into a coma. Or the first part of death process.
And all because you weren't breathing properly.
Exactly.
Wow. So,
what the medulla does. It has that much control over the sympathetic side when allowing the parasympathetic, the shadow side, full adrenaline control.
We are that conflicted at the mechanical level of how the soul spark, you know, the medium of light that is us, localized into event that's in a body that experiences everything through memories that are just stored in light. As you said, you know, when you were Dr. Discernment, this is a holographic reality. Mm. Absolutely it is. This microphone's not really real. It's just a memory that I'm perceiving, a living algorithm memory. Each time we choose to be our authentic self, the fullness of our spark comes in. The sympathetic and the parasympathetic let down to the point where all they do is have your basic body posture correct. And you're authentically here. Many people cannot do that because they grew up having to go to work where they couldn't be their authentic self, because they had to fill out a job form to get hired that said they're self-starters, that they're this, that they're that, and they're already conforming to something that they're not. Same thing in grammar school, middle school, and high school, and college. Each time conforming to something else's version of what a professional should look like. All the while, raising your debt, creating depression, suppression, regression within you. The educated are also some of the most tortured out there. Because once they're done with school, they don't always know how to live. Education was such a huge part of their life that when they go into the practice side, all they want to go back and is be a student, learning. Creating confliction within them. The people that follow this radio station, most of them are their own researchers. Self-educated, illuminated, masters of their self in their moment. And we need more of that in the world. Self-illuminated, self-taught, self-educated masters of the now, who have taken the time to activate their heart space enough to say, hey, this world needs to change, and it needs thought leaders and thought constructors out there and connectors that help the whole world simplify the process of determining what is awake and what is asleep. You know what, to me, what awake means? Each and every day you make a choice to not go to sleep, to stop, to keep caring about yourself, and to no longer care. each day making those choices to make something sacred in your life, bring the fullness of your spark in, turn off the medulla oblongata so you can make heart-based choices and teach the body how to do it before adrenaline takes over. What is a sleeper? A person who chooses in a 30-day period to only be asleep, be awake 5 days of those months. Even a person that's awake 27 days a month is still a sleeper. When one chooses that process to be 24/7, 365 awake, they move into the process of non-duality and non-separation of dream time, dream space, dreaming frequencies, astral projection, out-of-body experiences, because you are a signature frequency match for those processes when you engage them as the I am heart-based being of the now. Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, hang on a second. As the universal heart-based being that we are, indeed, universal heart-based beings. It's much easier, actually, to, you know, because thinking is kind of, I always find thinking is kind of work. I'd rather be paid for thinking than to do it for free, to be honest, because it's work, isn't it?
All right, so what is the difference between thought and thinking?
Thoughts are things that have people. Thinking is like generating little tiny machines made of cogs and wheels and circuits and stuff.
So when one thinks about nothingness, there are no machines, no cogs, no wheels. The vastness of space.
Is it possible to think of nothingness when nothingness is something that a thinking mind can't? You know, there's more to think, there's more to the mind, there's more to mentality and thoughts than the thinking mind only.
In nothingness, something is born from the pregnant universal mystery around us.
There you go.
Many major religions talk about nothingness. Okay? Taoists and a couple of the others. When one observes nothingness, nothing observes you back. And when nothing is observing you back, you have the true freedom of unlimited thinking. And when you're ready to engage nothingness, that's the fullness of creation without programs creating limitations on any of the seen or unseen layers. I call it the pregnant void of the great mystery. And inside the great mystery, great spirit lives. And what is great spirit? You and I, all acting in the layered uni worlds we live in. All dimensions, time streams, galaxies, universes, all of those versions of us that are in different densities going about a different experience, yet still aware that we are here in this density talking about them.
Focus to a point. That's an interesting thing you're saying. Because here we are at this point of time, moving along slowly. Becoming another point in time. What's changing? Here I am, sitting here in my by my desk with my computers. There you are. All the other people, there they are. What's changing? Only the frequency.
Mm-hmm. The amount of light we are transforming around us right now. The amount of omnidirectional life force we're putting out through our voice that's gone through the whole internet that has billions of unentangled observers there. In the unseen world, next to everyone's computer, whether it's tuned into the station or not. This one broadcast here is seen by 10 times the amount or 100 times the amount in the unseen world. Or a billion times the amount. For one person can have a connection to an unseen world that can exponentially increase our one degree of separation, which is how we can impact the entire system just by being emanating broadcasters of the now.
Luminaries of the now, as I say. It's really good to see everybody here as well. Thank you for being here. Thank you for enjoying our little venture into some strangeness. Just to kind of break the kind of, almost unbearable heartbreak that the world is going through at the moment. And it feels like it's like, you know, those little, they're not flares, but they're little tubes. You get them at the fairground and you have to break the glass before the thing will start glowing, you know.
Glow sticks.
Glow stick. That's the thing. Oh, jeez. Anyway, so yeah, it's like you have to break the glow stick. You have to, flex it. You have to make it bend and then it blends inside and starts glowing. So there's a blending of the yin and yang in us that, creates the divine neutral, as you've been talking about for several years. Because you were one of the first people that actually ever spoke about that kind of idea, which to me is like unified thinking, is like law of one kind of thing.
Yeah, the sacred neutral point of view is something that evolved out of my understandings of ancestral energies, the seven past generations, and the descendants of the future, the seven future generations, that we are all implicitly, intrinsically linked into an extended frequency of light that has dream worlds that cross over in a non-frequency of time, so we can counsel each other past, present, and future. We are a collective of all the fetuses we've been in previously and in the future. And we have that ability to tap into it at any moment in time. Or non-time.
Yeah, it's not a matter of believing it to be so.
I mean, knowing.
It's knowing, and knowing is like, well, knowing that when you turn a door handle, that you're going to be opening the door. That's that level of knowing, isn't it? That, you know, that you're not going to turn the door handle and it's just going to turn and nothing's going to happen because it's a simple mechanism. You know, so you just know that that's going to work.
Like you know there are forks in a certain drawer in your cupboards.
Yeah.
Whether you washed them or not is something different.
You know there ought to be some there. Let's put it that way.
There ought to be some there.
So, knowing that that's the way reality is and behaving and taking the attitude that that's the way reality is makes, well, this gives one a lot of what you might call empowerment.
Yes. Once there is the unlimited point of view through neutrality, you have the fullness of empowerment to create in neutrality, so no polarity or charge comes from your creating process and your solidifying of knowingness, meaning you make a mental construct that you can go every day with and not have to worry about forgetting. Early in our childhoods, we learned 1 + 1 = 2, 7 × 7 = 49. Those are mental constructs we enforced into ourselves at a young age. We could also do that with our knowledge and imprint it into our knowingness. But it is a choice to do that. That is called engaging the sacred discipline in neutrality. So you're creating a frequency of learning that doesn't allow contrast, polarity, or charge to influence the learning process. You have the free, unlimited thinking power of the genius you.
The genius you, and this is what people say, you know, how come somebody's so clever and that other, you know, I'm not so clever, but I am in touch with my soul, who is. Mm-hmm. And as long as you recognize right order, then when you talk, you know, when people do great work, when people write great books and make great music and do great artworks and cathedrals and stuff, that's their soul doing their work through them as a vehicle.
Right.
Perhaps through many people, you know. You want to build a cathedral, maybe you incarnate through several people.
And you'll need several dozen to help you build it.
Mm-hmm.
Also have that contracted in their process.
Yeah. So we are all a construction of our own souls, as it were.
Yes. Our soul families make constructs of light for us to filter through to see the sevenfold colors of light here. Now you do your ray readings and you understand the seven colors, you know, from my expression, you know, we have red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. Each one represents an energy body of seen and unseen resolution. So you can go through the basic archetypes of what each one is and see there's a seen and unseen level.
Mm-hmm.
At the unseen level, we create light bodies to go create remedy and resolve or resolution with other beings in awareness or unawareness. You know, it's like when you have two friends that have an argument, there's a light body exchange between them. And oftentimes those light bodies meet in a neutral space to duke it out or to work it out. Okay. Sometimes other forms of light bodies will be a part of it, you know, the solar plexus and the brain, because if it's a mental argument versus spiritual argument. And then if there's a heart space, it's lovers that are arguing, then you have a heart space argument issue that creates an intermixing of all these light bodies.
That's rather beautiful. And I remember, you know, we had a conversation way back and there was something, and you said, well, you know, just create a light body and send it back and do the thing. And I actually found who it was immediately. It was like days later, and I saw the embodiment in a person who I knew.
Mm-hmm.
And how they may interact, in the way that I imagined them to be in this scenario. And it was just fascinating to think that, well, somehow I created this person, this being,
mm-hmm.
as a kind of, illustration,
mm-hmm.
of my dissatisfaction. It's very interesting to see that, and immediately I saw who it was, and hopefully the fellow himself has been released from his task and can enjoy a happy mm-hmm. retirement.
So there are times that we have in our knowingness that we can purposely create an energy body to go do something of the I am's resolution. That is engaging our sacred discipline and our psychic skill to go in and seek resolution with someone we may have had an argument with. Some call that magic. Others call it conscious application of the sacred resolution of the self. There's a fine line in our moral code in what is stepping on another's journey and what is getting closure or new beginnings.
Because, now this again extends back into the show previously, because we're talking about the difference between karma and dharma, which is exactly, a few minutes ago you described exactly that, in that you cease making any ripples in the third dimension in order that, you don't have to keep fighting fires and that you mm-hmm. can get on with what you're supposed to be here for. So,
exactly.
So you clear up your karma, which is you deal with all the things from past lives and all of the triggers and all of that stuff. And as soon as you're untriggerable, that means that you cleared your karma, and then you can start getting on with your dharma, which is what you wanted to do when you were 5 years old.
Right. And then there's creating something that wasn't in karma or dharma at all. And that's the free-thinking, illuminated master who is aware of things on bigger scales and size, and then doesn't take on martyrship to deal with them, but takes on equal co-creation, non-competition, non-hierarchical order, non-separation, non-duality as a part of the I am now, and then begins to deconstruct the shared reality rules in such a way when they go to reconstruct it, there is no negative energy exchange system that isn't already in non-competition, non-hierarchical order. You effectively castrate the system when it cannot compete with you or make you conform to a hierarchical system.
Well, if you stop eating eggs, your rooster's going to have no power over you, is he?
Nope.
So, you can strangle the bugger. Wakes me up at 4 o'clock in the morning. No, I'm not that cruel. I couldn't do that. My last girlfriend could. She could have snapped its neck with a with a second thought. I'm stopping that. Meanwhile, Andrew Bartzis and I are shooting the breeze here on Revolution Radio Studio B. I'd recommend the seed pack. Go to the donate button thing, press it, and give money. All right, that's me. That's the hard sell. That's me. Give us money. All right, that's enough. Please, 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 thank you. Thank you for giving us money. Thank you for donating. Thank you for pressing the donate button on Revolution Radio. It makes us happy. It makes Hawk happy. And you know what he's like when he's not happy. So you just like, press the button and make him happy. Cause you know what he's like. Maybe that's how we should do it. We should like, you know, just make it real guilty kind of thing, you know. Otherwise you're going to make Hijacker does this. He says, you know, either you donate to Hawk or I'm going to buy the station from him and take it over and it'll be me and Deacon John.
That'd be guiltonomics.
Guiltonomicals. So, yes, indeed. Guiltonomics, a very good way of looking at family politics.
Yep.
You know, and how the energy in a debt-based system keeps passing around. Guilt means I owe them.
Right.
Resentment means you owe me. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we have all of these things that kind of tot up a little bit more and kick the can down the road until we get to the point of what, Andrew?
Accepting who we are, unacknowledging or taking the power away of shame, blame, and guilt. Guilt is the perception of debt owed. Shame amplifies the debt owed. And blame makes the debt owed now.
Well, nicely put.
Okay. Once you can let go of that vicious cycle of those three constantly modifying shame, blame, and guilt, you can make deeper choices that don't involve shame, blame, or guilt as an archetype in your decisionary process.
Mm.
That's truly giving yourself the freedom of thought.
It's allowing reality to be as it is.
Yep.
In the moment and sitting with it and not trying to keep changing it.
Mm-hmm.
And people will jump up and say, but what about? And you might say, calm down then. And you'll see.
Mm-hmm. So when people are in the what about this, what about that stage, that is their doubt of their own knowingness, trying to engage you to engage in their doubt. Now, doubt is separate of shame, blame, and guilt. Once there's a seed of doubt, it can grow into the spiritual crops that you have based off of where that doubt seed was planted in your structure of your belief system. Many people have a seed of doubt based in their faith at the youngest of age when a prayer didn't happen for them.
You know, doubt is equal to debt. So if you now look at that, we have a doubt-based economy.
Yes.
And the doubt is the doubt in our own treasure, that we have a treasure inside, that we have to somehow create some outside treasure.
Right.
That is never enough. It's never good enough. And yet, when you create from inside of you, there's plenty and there's never enough time to, you know. It's completely the other way around.
Right.
And that's creative and that's credit.
Mm-hmm.
So a creative-based economy, a credit-based economy, an Ubuntu economy, which is doing something forward, rather than creating a debt, rather than saying immediately you owe me this for joining this group. This is what I do. Here, have some of this. I have plenty.
Go ahead. See, for that to work, there still needs to be a superstructure of understanding. Eh? A set of moral codes that drive everyone in Ubuntu. You know, I've studied Ubuntu, love the material, but for it to make it to the next level, so there's a transitory or transcendence process from what was to what actually will be. Because I see just Ubuntu as a simple framework. And for that framework to be put in place, people still need to deal with their own personal issues. Ubuntu can fail in 2 seconds if the personal issues aren't taken care of. If you have people competing with each other, who's giving away more?
and you have nothing left in your own area. And then you begin begging, the begonomics process.
Well, again, this all comes from doubt. So somehow in the induction process, there has to be some kind of recalibration of the emotional body, and that's the work. That's the work, isn't it?
An admittance of self-worth instead of an admonishment of self-worth.
Oh, lovely. Lovely. And
men who are negative self-worth, they don't believe themselves worthy enough to gain to the next level of success, no matter how small it is.
And what is success? I mean, there's on a spiritual level, how would you express a success kind of story level?
Well, success comes at many levels. The first thing to understand is success, it is a process, not an event. Success is not instant gratification, and success does take some form of effort and discipline. The discipline is accepting the success, loving the success, and not diminishing or admonishing it by critical thinking that doesn't truly give you the ability to expand your thought construct. So many people are so critical of themselves, they instill their own doubt, which instills shame in themselves because they're not creative enough in the moment, which creates another vicious cycle of depression, regression, and suppression.
A doubt-based economy.
Mm-hmm. When we're in a heart-based economy, innately the needs are taken care of. Everyone's roof doesn't leak. Most people have some form of clean water unless they're choosing to live that level. Toilets can be flushed. Garbage can be taken care of in a proper way that doesn't pollute the world. There's still a form of semblance of safety protecting the space that is this place. There's still some form of semblance of heart-based understanding between each other so we don't step on their journey, but at least are allowed to voice our opinion.
This is the essence of a heart-based community. And I think a lot of us are kind of yearning. Oh, if only we could live like that. If only the world could be like that. And I think the only reason that it's not is because you haven't done it yet. You, meaning those who are listening who are asking that question.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make it happen. It's not going to be like somebody's going to send you a little card saying, come and join our community. Well, maybe they will. Maybe there are some people who have built a community who might recognize the use of, and the usefulness of having somebody who's an empath in their midst.
Mm.
You know, every village needs a shaman. Every village needs an elder. Every village needs a teacher. Every village needs a doctor. You know what I'm saying?
But for that to happen, there has to be respect for that person who's going to take up that role.
That's right.
Without respect, that role is worthless, and whoever would take up that role without respect would truly do a disservice to everyone that would come to them that doesn't have respect.
Hmm.
Let me make a bigger metaphor. Let's just look at the respect of the truther industry in general. And I combine the spirituality community with the truther industry because it has an equal layer of disrespect. Okay?
Go ahead.
So for them to gain respect, they ultimately have to take a different level of professionalism on, where the demands of mediocrity are understood they're just demands of mediocrity. Many people are trying their best, doing the best that they can do, but at this level of this industry, we cannot allow mediocrity anymore. Mediocrity in ourselves. Those are the ones that will make the jump over to the mainstream side, where they believe in their own words, where they're not full of ignorance and intolerance, but understanding and joy, truly sharing the gifts of life. No matter what subject matter it is, even if it's a dense one dealing with reptilians or whatever, there's still a way to do it in such a way that doesn't create fear, but it creates understanding. how to go through the process of taking shame, blame, and guilt away, taking the power of the negative entities away, castrating the reality in such a way that they cannot function with you. We have done this 1,000 times before in our history. We've all been here learning this lesson over and over again. Self-empowerment, taking your power back, becoming a sovereign being of the now, making fully aware choices, and having to carry the mantle of responsibility of the level of awareness that you're at. Everything is a choice-based process.
And indeed, if somebody is trying to reduce you to someone in their pecking order, all you need to do is pick them up by their legs and hang them there for a little while, staring them in the face. That will, yes. they can't do anything about it. And there's a metaphor in there as well. In that they're really, I mean, if you look at people who are behaving in a reptilian sort of way, they're really like just big chickens. And if you look at them like, ah, that's just a big chicken, then you can, and then you can metaphorically pick them up by their feet, you know, because their footing is just chicken world. It's not real reality as we are grounding in. And as we are able to create for ourselves, which means that you can say, I don't accept chicken world in my reality. My reality is human world. Humane.
My reality is chicken free.
Chicken free. Chicken fricassee. Do you know, it's so funny. This whole chicken thing has a little running gag that has been through my life. It's just the funny thing. Anyway.
I think you could write a little ebook on it.
Chicken world. Well, you know, on Chicken Planet, we have, Jewish mother soup. They find it as a healing delicacy.
Jewish mother soup, that's good.
You gotta boil it with celery. Anyway, delicious. It's a delicacy on her part. Anyway, Andrew, it's been fun with 2 hours. Listen, tell people about where you're at. And, do you do one-on-one sessions? You do still?
Yes, I do. You can call my office 360-894-0692, or you can go to my website, andrewbartzis.com. That's andrewbartzis.com. And I have a show here on Revolution Radio at Mondays, 2 to 4 Eastern Time, which is a call-in show with my co-host, Kathy Ma. We just did a really big event called Living the Mystical Life Daily. We had people from 17 countries there. It was absolutely amazing. I taught Galactic History 2 in a form of what I call meditation teachings, where it's a combination thought construct teaching and meditation that allows you to take terms like non-hierarchical order, non-duality, non-separation, apex of yourself, and integrate them into a meditative journeying process that activates other parts of our higher scale knowingness.
Kentucky Fried Human also serves. Sorry.
Kentucky Fried Human, exactly.
Oh, dear. Chicken World. They're going to come for us. I know they're going to come for us. And we're going to have to explain ourselves. Yeah, look.
All in the name of comedy.
Yeah. I tell you, the irony of the universe is out to get you. Kentucky Fried Human. Anyway, Andy, other projects? Are you doing some, have you got any, like, I mean, cause you've done like a whole bunch of, big works, haven't you? A lot of multi-volume, teaching lessons and things, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm in the process of, preparing for the next big event that's gonna come, sometime next year. And we're going to be advancing the teachings, teaching people how to do dreamtime seeing, how to teach people really to go into the delta state or the deep theta state through the use of words and guided imagery that's done in their own voice. I provide them a script that assists them in understanding all of the concepts that go with this advanced form of thought construct that you want to turn into a meditative construct that will inevitably become a lucid dreaming construct. All of them are designed to be done just near the sleep state, so you do fall asleep and carry through the meditative construct into the lucid dreaming construct. So what I've come up with is a variety of teachings that use words that are in different formats. Some use indigenous wisdom, some use galactic wisdom, some use common wisdom of words or understanding, but put together in a way that allows the self to override the sympathetic and parasympathetic's belief that it has precognitive function before the I am presence. A way to see that we can program ourselves at the very blood level, at the marrow. If we put our consciousness into the marrow of our bones and we manifest, I want to have mystical experiences that I can come back with and be fully aware. I want to be connected through my heart space, through my blood. I want to have health and wellness as all part of my being. We can create the words that create the imprint so that the blood that's produced over the next 56 days has that imprint, that pheromone of I am in it.
So it kind of recharges and cleanses. Well, you got to cleanse it out first, don't you? It's just like as if you were to do it with your actual bloodstream, but you're doing it with the highest powerful thing that we have. And the thing that has been most placed under the boot of domination. And that is our speech. So thank you very much. Andrew Bartis, we have had fun. Mr. Fearporn and Dr. Discernment, good riddance. I don't know where they're going to come back. Maybe not. Who never knows? But thank you. we're big on the fourth.
Crumbling world falls apart. will take away your pain. In this heartless world, a miracle of love.